your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Maxwell Zulu, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon and God bless you. God bless the listeners as well.
So we're talking good seasons of barrenness and Mfundisi today, and I do understand that you just stole away just to talk to us, so I'll try not to keep you for long. How do you perceive spiritual barrenness as a form of spiritual trial or testing of your faith? How does that feature?
Well, spiritual barrenness could be distinct from physical barrenness because spiritual barrenness is a condition where your spirituality is not reaching its fruition, meaning you cannot produce the fruit that the Holy Spirit would influence had he been living right in you. And therefore, if you are barren spiritually, we may not really state it as your faith is being tried. For instance, if you're barren physically, maybe you're not producing a child, or maybe you've been trying to do some things in life, they're not working out, perhaps those could be working out to try your faith. But when you are spiritually barren, we assume, therefore, that you are already in a condition that you need desperate help. There, your faith may not really be tried. That is my perspective about spiritual barrenness. You are in a position where you need to be pulled from that state, that kind of a condition. Perhaps you don't even have the faith. You really don't even have the faith. Perhaps, let me even give an example. Somebody is wayward. He's gone berserk. He's no longer one person that you may look at and see Christ in them. So their faith is not really being tried. They are already weak at that point. They really need assistant revitalization by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so are there any instances where overcoming spiritual barrenness contributed to increasing spiritual and emotional resilience in Scripture?
Definitely. Perhaps one may look for instances where you may see that the overcoming spiritual barrenness contribute to increased spiritual and emotional resilience in Scripture. As you may look at Paul, if you look intently at him, you may notice clearly that he was barren, but he was not aware in that he was in what I may term a misguided barrenness. But when the proper guide came, where he had to really direct his empathy and power for service, really his vitality changed. His resilience for God was corrected. And you may notice with me also Samson, who in his fallacy, rout against God, did what God wouldn't approve. But later on in life, when he decided to reconnect with God, God achieved through him what he couldn't even achieve when he was, in rebellion against
God. I hear you. So how can one approach self-examination and recognition of sin during periods of spiritual barrenness?
I personally think that we must be intentional about it, and we must give heed to the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, because it's him that works on our sensibilities to try to redefine to harness our falling from faltering and erring to people who are able to sense the need for change, to sense the need to reconnect with God. So when we become intentional about transformation, when we become intentional about our current state, coming from what we are to where we want to get to, it is very imperative, and that process can actually not be bypassed in the process of transformation.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm applying my mind here, Mfundisi, to what you're saying. Can repentance and turning toward God lead to spiritual renewal?
Certainly. Actually, It is repentance, which is a gift because it's not something that happens without God igniting it. It's something that is initiated and sustained by the Holy Spirit. So repentance can definitely and will definitely lead to spiritual renewal. In fact, before you even get to being renewed, you first must confess, repent, and the Holy Spirit renews your vitality, your spiritual stamina, and gives you sanctification, which is the process where you are made holy, having repented from the errors of the past.
Yeah. So in what ways can acknowledging areas in need of repentance contribute to your spiritual transformation?
Every sin that is confessed is forgiven.
Oh, yeah, man.
Every sin. For the Bible really says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. And therefore, if we acknowledge our areas, Lord, I'm addicted to alcohol. Lord, I'm addicted to masturbation. Lord, I'm addicted to faltering. Lord, if you make me an accountant, I'll fall. In fact, I'm an accountant, but I have fallen. I have stolen. Lord, it's actually the points that are confessed, that are forgiven. And once we confess, the Lord gives us the power, the grace to handle what was handling us. You remember that man who was lying for 38 years, he asked Christ to come and step into his phase. When he stepped into his level, Christ gave him the power to carry what was carrying him. That's exactly what happens when Christ steps in. When we confess, we tell him, this mat has been carrying me for so long. Can you heal me?
Yeah.
Can you heal me? And Christ will not just say, get up and go home. He will tell you, get up and be in charge of what was in charge of you.
That's right.
Tell me what was carrying you. And this is exactly what happens when we begin to tell, when we begin to acknowledge our weaknesses. Actually, if you ever want to enjoy a relationship, you will notice a relationship is enjoyable when you're dating somebody who acknowledges their wrong.
That's right. Wow.
And so when you are really connected with God, you're in a relationship with God, God feels good knowing that you acknowledge that you are a sinner. Oh. When Daniel is praying in chapter 9, he says, we have sinned against you.
Yeah.
We have turned our backs against you.
Yeah.
And while he was praying, Gabriel was released.
Yeah.
It is in the process of confession, the process of acknowledging your state as a destitute spiritually, that heaven opens to come to your rescue.
That's right. Wow. Thanks for this. I appreciate that. So how do you engage then? How do you engage with your faith intellectually during these seasons of spiritual barrenness?
Well, how do you engage with faith intellectually during seasons of spiritual barrenness? It is important to realize that your faith and your intellect may not really match. And I say it with a stamina of thought, because faith and intelligence rarely cohabit. It's either faith will be in charge or intelligence will be in charge. How do you go to a body of water under a promissory note that it will open?
Okay.
Intelligence will fail you. But what I've been put across is that when faith is in charge, sometimes your faith should submit to intelligence. Sorry, your intelligence should submit to faith, because When you are spiritually barren, you look at yourself. Your intelligence will tell you, hey, you are not worthy. You can't be cleansed. I think you've bypassed. You have done the unpardonable thing.
Yeah.
That is intelligence trying to rationalize your condition. But faith tells you, when I pray, no matter how nasty I am, I will be forgiven.
Yeah.
I will be re-energized. I will be pardoned. I'm his child. Faith, intelligence will tell you, I got my share as a prodigal son.
Yeah.
Intelligence will tell you, my father may not accept me, but faith will tell you, even in my father's place, servants are treated better than the way I'm being treated. Faith will encourage you to go back to God. And so in moments of barrenness, in moments when you feel you are not productive spiritually, let your faith guide you.
Yeah. Oh, my
goodness. Let your faith lead the way.
Yeah.
And intelligence should follow behind.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Loud and clear, Mfundisi. I appreciate it. Thank you ever so much. Please pray for us. Just on that note, pray for us, Mfundisi.
Please, let's pray together. Jehovah God, we thank you for the privilege of life today. How we plead and pray that you may intertwine yourself with us in our seasons of barrenness. We have much we can talk about with the next person, with our spouses, with our mothers and fathers, with our church members. We have a lot of God on our plates. But we want to confess it to you and help us, oh God, to do just your will. Without you, we can't afford. Without you, we are falling apart. But bring us in shape, realign us to your will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time and thank you very much for stepping on just to talk to us. Really appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless and Godspeed.
Thank you. God bless you all. Thank you.